CCTA wake-up call for May 27, 2023. Welcome to CCTA Wake-Up Call for the Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for joining us, and I'm going to start by saying we'll introduce ourselves. This time I remembered, I'm telling you I'm Bob Griswold, and I will introduce the rest of the, or they will introduce the rest of the panel. Go for it.
Mary Griswold.
Rebecca Hopper.
Christy Frazier.
Alan Harrop.
Glenn Fink.
And we're going to be talking about House Bill 626, which leads us into a discussion of the legalization of marijuana, which is being discussed in the North Carolina legislature. We have already legalized medical marijuana, but the next part of that discussion, unfortunately, always leads to the legalization of recreational marijuana.
Biblically, this was called the camel's nose under the tent.
The camel's nose under the tent.
Okay, and so also let's define what it is. It's the male version of the hemp plant. The female version is the hemp, and then the male is the marijuana plant. And they do look very different. And in 2018... the female plant was introduced as in the House bill, and it was passed to legalize CBD, female hemp components, and has THC of 0.03% in the state of North Carolina.
And that is different than actual marijuana that has a serious THC.
We are compared. Component. We are compared. CBD is compared. Anybody who sells CBD is compared to strawberries in the agricultural world.
Full disclosure: you have a business.
You have a business. I do. CBD business, and it's Native Ceuticals Coastal, and I have some wellness uses for all of the cannabinoids. Hard word to say, but it does help our endo system throughout with CB1, CB2. We can talk more about that, but let's talk about marijuana.
I want to ask you, as someone who sells those natural pharmaceuticals, how do you feel about the legalization of recreational marijuana?
I don't think that we need to legalize marijuana personally. Pharmaceutical marijuana, and then the CBD plant from the hemp source has THC in it, and enough THC to, if you want to have recreation, or has no THC. So CBDs can be part of the THC formula or without, but it works well within your system to improve on many different pains mm-hmm. and things like that.
Now, Rebecca, you have worked with some of the drug sniffing dogs.
Yes.
And you have seen much. So I want to hear your take.
Well, what I would say is I think with any other plant, there can be or is some sort of a, whether it be from medical use all the way to we use herbs in our foods. Mm-hmm. There's such a wide array of different plants that can be used for multiple different things. I think what is concerning is more so not the CBD portions of the marijuana. When we say marijuana, I think people categorize marijuana as all of this being included, whether it be CBD or even you see lotions in the store that have CBD in them. And I don't believe that that is necessarily what we are talking about as far as the legalization in this House Bill 626. And they can call it hemp, but at the end of the day, the biggest thing that I see from my personal view and kind of doing some research on these hemp farms that are popping up all over the place is we as humans cannot stop pollination. And what you're talking about with the female and the male plant, when those plants are pollinated, if that crop is contaminated because a bee landed over here and then brought that pollen over and pollinated this plant over here, I think that is where, how do you control that whole entire crop? Because it will then contaminate the entire crop. So what I think can happen is that, yes, as people may come in and put regulations, like we had the North Carolina pilot program for the hemp farms, what we were seeing, at least, you know, again, doing much research on it, is that we see that they weren't being tested enough. They weren't being regulated enough. And I know law enforcement were asking questions. How do we deal with these hemp farms? How do we deal with the transportation?
You know, that is a really good point. And I will tell you that everything that this particular company, Native Ceuticals, which is right out of North Carolina, promotes, is that everything is going to be down to the penny what North Carolina requires, and they do make sure that they harvest that plant, and they make sure that they get as much of the bad THC levels out. And they have to be regulated. We're regulated just like any other company. A lot of CBDs are not regulated, but we are, because we are in North Carolina.
Well, and I don't think really that's the issue that I'm speaking about. What I'm speaking about is, even with our hemp farms, let's use that as an example. Okay. Hemp farms, yes, they are regulated, but to your law enforcement agencies, we have gone to the North Carolina Department of Agriculture and we've asked for those regulations. For example, if let's say that when that hemp farmer then, you know, produces their plant and then they cultivate it and then they package it up and distribute it, if I were law enforcement to, or any law enforcement, were to stop them on a traffic stop, how would we know the difference? Are they required to carry a license with them? Are they required to produce any analytical logs saying this is the breakdown of that product? How are people supposed to know when they come in contact with them that this is actually hemp and not marijuana?
And it's all on education. It's all about education. And I have seen, which is why I got into a deep study on this, is what I've seen is people taking too many gummies and making fools out of themselves. I mean, it's no different than getting high as a kite on marijuana. It's and then coupling that with alcohol, it's just a disaster. So you're right. How do you know? You have to get a drug test.
Well, and I think what law enforcement is looking at is that even contacting people like the North Carolina Department of Agriculture, we weren't getting any answers whatsoever. All they would say back would be, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a question for you.
Is it a good question?
I honestly don't know the answer to this. Will one of the drug dogs react to hemp as well as marijuana?
So they are not trained on the THC. They are, if you have drug dogs who are trained in the odor of marijuana, it's not going to matter.
It's still marijuana.
It is still marijuana.
Can tell the difference. The smell, you can smell if it's marijuana, and you can tell the difference. I mean, I'm a believer.
But the dogs will point on either one.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. I want to reference a couple of articles, oddly enough, out of the New York Times, not a paper that I generally reference, but the New York Times on October 28, 2018, posted an article with the title, "I'm Just a Middle-Aged House Dad Addicted to Pot." And this is the personal account of a guy in his mid-20s doing a lot of heavy pot. And he talked about the benefits from his point of view at the time he was doing it. It made everything better, except that for some reason he developed a really rotten temper. And he got into bar fights, and he got into some trouble. And he decided, this isn't what I want to do. And he totally went cold turkey on it and stopped doing it. But I think we overlook the fact that marijuana can be addictive and it can have side effects. And do we really want to legalize something that is detrimental to people?
Well, I've never smoked marijuana in my life. But I have witnessed a sister who did. And she's not the same as she was. That's my...
Were, are you saying that in the middle of using it, or would you say altogether?
She's just an angry person. She's depressed and angry.
Altogether?
Altogether. Altogether.
Now, is that continuing the use of it, or would that be just...
She's continuing the use.
Okay.
But it's sad to see a sibling mentally, you know, be disturbed by something that has been present in her life since 13?
Wow.
Oh, my.
Wow.
And when we come back, I know we're going to take a break. I want to talk about another New York Times article by two healthcare professionals talking about marijuana.
Well, folks, as was just mentioned, let's take time to listen to some of our sponsors and enjoy their wares, and I ask you to go and support them. Thank you.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. Welcome back from break. Go for it, Mary.
I want to go to another New York Times article, and this one goes back to 2019. Kenneth Davis, president and chief executive of Mount Sinai Health System, and Mary Jean Creek, I may be pronouncing that wrong, head of Laboratory of the Biology of Addictive Diseases at Rockefeller University, cited studies that show marijuana has a deleterious impact on cognitive development in adolescents. And what they're saying is that we need to make sure, even if we legalize this stuff, that it should not be used by anyone over 21. Under 21, I'm sorry.
Well, I think that's...
because it has impacts in development. And there are some schools that believe that it should not be sold to anybody under 25 because your brain is still developing at that point.
Well, I think the issue about how you sell it and who has access to it are completely different. You can sell it at 21, but that doesn't mean people under 21 are not going to have all kind of free access to it. And I think that's the reality of it. I think that... you know, the whole idea of the marijuana, is, you know, a lot of states started out like we recently did with making medical marijuana, mm-hmm. Okay? That's okay. And even that bill has a lot of vague kind of definitions of who qualifies.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe there was something in there about if you had a certificate from a doctor that you could have access to it, you could actually have marijuana from outside of the state, mother location, you have in your possession. And you know, there is that marijuana, I think, I don't know whether it's coming over the borders now or whatever, that has a lot more, THC in it.
Well,
a lot higher
it
concentration
fentanyl
than it used to. And plus, it has, and if it's available on the street, so you get a certificate that allows you to have medical marijuana, and that's your excuse for, you can access stuff, and that protects you from being held accountable for something that's stronger or something that could be deadly. I think this whole trend about going down this road with marijuana is a serious mistake, in my opinion. I was in the mental health section of the Department of Correction for years. It's a gateway drug.
Yes.
And it leads to the use of other drugs. And if you don't believe that, then you're being pretty naive. And you know, you're talking, Mary, about the negative impacts, the long-term consequences. Every drug you take has a negative consequence if taken long enough.
Also, as you mentioned, we have legalized medical marijuana. In the past 3 or 4 years, we have seen a drastic increase in vape shops. They are sitting there waiting for marijuana to be legalized. That's the whole purpose of them being there. And I've been told, and I don't remember who told me this, it was somebody in law enforcement, it wasn't you, Rebecca, but it was somebody in law enforcement who pointed out that the vape shops, in many cases, are selling the accessories. They're selling the bongs. They're selling the pipes. They're selling the things that are involved with the use of marijuana.
Well, and even if you take it a bit further than that, even if they're waiting, I don't think, even with the vape shops or whatever shops, you know, plan on selling this, but let's even go back to the medicinal. Where are the regulations? They are not sending them out to law enforcement and going, this is how much, again, we can transport. This is how much they can possess. Are they supposed to present it just like someone with a CCW, concealed carry weapon? Are they supposed to be presenting that first off right at the beginning of the traffic stop? I wholeheartedly agree with you. I don't think that they're just because they hold a medical card doesn't mean that they are not going to provide it to other people, allow Absolutely. Their family members to use it. So if you think about marijuana and what you're talking about with the vape shops, or I can't really single them out because but I think that is a great source for marketing for them whenever if or when it ever begins. But if you think about a normal marijuana cigarette or a joint, they're typically 6% THC. 6% THC is the normal. That is if you buy it on the street and you are distributing that way. That's around normal. If you look at the vape pens that we have seen in law enforcement, you're looking at 91%.
Ooh.
What? Wow, Rebecca.
And what happens, this is, I don't know the answer to this. This is an honest question. What about the edibles? Does that vary a lot? Does anybody know how much marijuana is in a marijuana brownie?
Typically, if they are manufacturing it, because we also see a lot of things being sent through the mail.
Mm-hmm.
In the manufacturing, in other states who have legalized it,
yes.
They are sending it here, but they're not supposed to send that through the mail. That is
any idea what the percentage is?
It could be, I think it would depend on the manufacturer, and it can vary depending on what the edible is.
Okay.
I mean, it could be everything, anything from a brownie. We've seen it in waxes that people, they use it similar to like a butter. They put it in their food.
Oh.
They cook with it. They are putting it in their tea. I mean, it would just vary. It would be hard to, pinpoint a percentage on that, because I think it would depend on the product.
I think I would break it down to the basic question. What's the accountability? None.
None.
To me, the issue about introducing any substance like this, which we have tried for years to prevent people from using, now we're crossing over and we're coming up with all these uses that will make it easier for people to access. We already have problems in our society now. You have younger people don't want to work. There's jobs they won't fulfill. Now we're introducing and make it easier to access substances. And I'd like somebody to answer the question, how does free access to marijuana improve our society? That's what I'd like. I'd like somebody to answer that question.
Well,
how does it make our society function better compared to how it used to function when marijuana was not even an issue? When I was a kid growing up, marijuana wasn't even available.
No.
It was, we'd go out and sneak and have a couple of beers. That was considered to be a risque thing.
Well, everybody.
But gradually now it's just readily available. And now we're sanctioning it and we're going to make it easier. And we've gone from medical marijuana and the states, 15 states have medical marijuana, 18 allow both and recreational, and that's the progression. You do the medical marijuana first, then you move to the recreational marijuana. And
yes.
Again, I'd like somebody to show me how this improves our society.
Showing my age, I can remember being sent to the principal because of chewing gum. I mean,
That's because the stuff you had in it, Bob. It
wasn't. Well, the truth is, the smile
you got on your face while you do.
The truth is, pharmaceuticals are not good for our system, period.
Mm-hmm.
And it really goes back to, we're being drugged by pharmaceutical companies.
I want to back up a little bit to something Alan just said. When we were living in Massachusetts, we had a kid who lived on our street who at 15 was coming home from school every day stoned on marijuana. It was one of the most gifted musicians I have ever met. You gave him an instrument and he played it. He tuned my piano by ear at one point. He managed to get through high school. I don't know how. And when he was about 19, he cleaned up his act. He literally met Jesus and stopped with the drugs and became a relatively productive member of society. But he never reached the heights he would have reached I mean, it was to the point, he had an amazing ear. I don't know if he had perfect pitch, but if he didn't, it was close. When Michael Bolton came to town, this guy was called to do the mixing for any performances he did. He was that
Isn't
good.
That right. That's
but and he was mixing the sound for his church, which made me very happy. But again, he turned out okay because God intervened in his life, but he never reached the potential that he would have reached had he not spent 5 years stoned out of his mind.
Well, and let's go again further into this with the legalization. Again, this is no offense to those people who have serious medical conditions, and it is helping them. I am not trying to single them out by any means whatsoever, but when those people who do have those conditions and it does help them, I understand why they push it. However, I don't think that everyone sees what can
the
result
dangers
from and the damage that it can cause later on down the road. And what I mean by that is your violent crimes and your property crimes. Those are things that need to be looked at. How are those going to be affected? For example, you know, even alcohol had a prohibition period, you know, and you have many things that's gone through prohibition. And when you look at the violent crimes and property crimes with the legalization, people currently who are trying to be legal are not making the money due to the supply and demand that you make by selling it and producing it illegally. So why would they want to go into legalization when they're making more money?
If it being illegal, that is a perfectly good question and one we need to answer.
No, go for it. Keep
when going. We come back, we would like to talk about a place called Humboldt County, California, and the impact of legalizing marijuana on that county.
Again, folks, please visit our sponsors and hope you're enjoying the show.
A professional auto service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back, Mary.
There is a documentary on Netflix called Murder Mountain, which deals with the impact of legalizing marijuana in Humboldt County, California. Now, before we get on to that, I've seen this documentary, and I want to mention that Humboldt County, even before they legalized marijuana, had some very unique characters.
And it's, what is it, a 5 or 6 part series?
Yes, mm-hmm. 6 part series.
What the residents of Humboldt County, before you legalized it, were growing it anyway. A lot of them were Vietnam vets that never quite came home. And one of the comments from the documentary that blew my mind was one of them saying, because he was still growing it illegally, I'm not a criminal. I'm an outlaw because I only break one law. I choose the law I break, and I only break one law. So I'm not a criminal. I'm an outlaw. But the mentality there in terms of right and wrong was a problem to begin with. And bringing in legal marijuana did not help that problem.
Well, and even if you take it back further than the documentary series that it's talking about, back in the 60s, the hippies landed there.
Yes.
And they were, but that is where we need to look at, again, not excusing breaking the law, but they were there and they were about peace and they were about living off of the land. And
they had a commune and they
that is correct.
Just happened as part of their commune to grow marijuana.
That is right. And they were not attempting to sell it to mm-hmm. the public. They were not attempting to do all of these different things that Humboldt County is
eventually
They wanted to be off the grid,
that is
period.
Correct.
And they wanted to be left alone and to leave people alone.
Right, right. So, again, talking about going back to the property crimes and violent crimes that increases, if you go based off of this documentary, the population of Humboldt County is 136,310 square miles is 4,052, and 80% of that is forestry. And due to the elevation of their land and having all the big hills in them, it actually helps the marijuana grow better due to the sunlight and the location of it. So California legalized marijuana or medicinal marijuana in 1996. The actual recreational use was legalized in 2016. Now, again, I think this goes back to the same thing. What goes past once it's legalized? What are the effects? Because once we legalize it, it's going to be hard to take back anything. So if you discount the fact and take away the fact, okay, let's take the medicinal away from it and just say the recreational use, what about our violent crimes and property crimes? Even just in this county here in 2021, their homicides were 43% higher. Their rapes were 52% higher. Their robberies were 9% higher, and their assaults were 20% higher.
Well, those are. Does that have anything to do with the property being taken over by cartels?
I don't believe in this particular case. Okay. However, the people are flocking to those areas, like Humboldt County.
Okay.
They are flocking there, looking into how can I get into the business of this illegal marijuana grows.
Okay.
And you also saw that the documentary focused on one particular person who had gone there to work and wound up missing.
To make a lot of money.
Yeah. And the thing you picked up in listening, because they interviewed a lot of the people who live there, And the thing that you picked up in listening was a total disregard for human life. These people who were working on these farms or who were working to refine the stuff or whatever you do to it were not valued. And this guy was shot because he went to the guy he was working for and said, I'd like to be paid. So they shot him and buried his body. And he went missing. I mean, there was a lawlessness associated to this that is scary.
I want to add in one quick thing that sort of tangentially made the movie was, you know, we talk about child trafficking and sex trafficking, and that was very, very obvious within that movie, that once you decided to leave the mainstream and go there just to get away, all of a sudden you were captured by the getaway, and you were not free to leave, and you were used.
Wow.
I think it's, you know, getting back to my question earlier about how does expanding access to marijuana help any society, drugs? And I was reading this book the other day, the night, about the 5,000-year leap. Mm-hmm. And it was very clear to the founding fathers that to have a successful republic, you had to have two things. You had to have religion, and you had to have morality. And when you go down this road we're going down with making drugs more accessible, you're undermining the entire basis of morality. We already see religion going downhill, especially with younger people. I think I saw a survey the other day. It was only like with people under like 25, only 17% have ever been to church. And so we are... This is just part of this undermining our society. And, you know, and I know people can justify, well, I think we need it for medical marijuana purposes, medical purposes, and so on. There are other substances can assist with those issues. This idea that you can only have, you know, you've got to have marijuana to deal with these things, I don't buy that. I don't buy into that.
Well, there's more
I think
in
it's
the-
just...
There's more in the HB 626 bill that I just was made aware of. And Glenn, you have a lot of deep dives on that bill. Can you share?
Well, first of all, I think where we are as a our morality is directly tied to our relationship with a higher power, and I'm a Christian. So if you don't have a higher power, you have no compass, and the whole thing goes astray there. There's several things that I picked up. Everybody's been talking about the, you know, where this goes if you legalize marijuana, but the bill 626 is really an interesting bill. Thank goodness it's been passed through the first reading, and apparently that doesn't require a vote because it said no vote on that. So I was really upset, actually called up to the General Assembly before I dug into that deeper. But this bill is under Article 1. There's several articles, and I won't get too deep in the weeds here. But under Article 1, it really talks about findings and then definitions. But under findings... you know, it talks about fostering a responsible industry whereby businesses will only be allowed to expand if they prioritize diversity, good wages, sustainability, and community investment.
That's ESG.
And it's not, they don't talk about public safety or anything else on that. The next point of that, and I won't belabor this much, but it generates needed revenue, including to reinvest in communities that have been disproportionately impacted by prohibition for substance abuse treatment and education, and to train more law enforcement officers to detect impaired drivers. And so... they're talking about generating revenue to manage the need to have law enforcement. So legalizing a new substance is to provide help to fund substance abuse and control of the substance. I mean, this is how crazy this bill is written. And just to get off that one, go to Article 2. This starts out as Office of Social Equity. So Article 2 is all about the Office of Social Equity. And so it's bigger government. And this thing talking about the funding, I'll just go on. It's interesting to be part of this. It starts really framing in the people that are actually going to be eligible to be on this committee, which to me starts out to where if you are a person of a normal society structure, you probably wouldn't be allowed to be on it. So I won't go into that any further, but you have a administering of the Community Reinvestment and Repair Fund. So the taxing for this, one might thought, this probably goes to a general fund and it just helps reduce all our taxes. Well, this seems to be capturing it as a fund that's really going to go towards a reinvestment process that is actually a reparation system. And that's my words. It doesn't show up in here anywhere. But this bill really goes south very fast as it relates to that stuff. It says the office shall promote and encourage full participation in the regulated cannabis industry by people from communities that have previously been disproportionately harmed by cannabis prohibition and enforcement in order to positively impact those communities. And so the people that are going to be considered for these groups is individuals with past convictions, individuals whose parents had prior convictions, individuals who have had less than honorable discharge, these are people are being considered to help with disbursements.
So the high use community.
And there's nothing there that indicates these people have changed their ways.
So it goes back to what Alan just said. How is this going to help with our society?
Well, how is it going to help with society? I'll go into that. Okay. I know we're close to permissible uses of the fund include but are not limited to grants, a nonprofit organization, housing assistance, including promoting home ownership, reentry services, which is, from prison system. That's probably good. Scholarship assistance for low income, grants to community based on organizations. It is really redistribution and it's zero interest loans. It's
so
crazy.
So we're going to subsidize the problem so that we can then increase the forces to handle the problem that we just created.
That's right.
With a social justice theme.
Okay. Yeah, I'm so glad you went over that, Glenn.
Okay, now we're going to take another break. And again, please visit our sponsors and. Again, thank you for staying with us.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back. Glenn, you want to?
Yeah, I'll kind of close out my comments from the earlier segment. The good news is the sponsorship on this, when I look at the sponsors, I don't believe it has really any chance of passing, although when I first looked at it, I was concerned it had passed the first reading. So I don't see that there's any likelihood that this will end up actually getting passed. But I am very, very concerned about kind of the general direction that this is taking and what could happen if we get a General Assembly that just is...
If we get a Democrat...
Or a General Assembly, you can take it to the bank that this could happen. Right now, thank goodness, with a supermajority that should be conservative... hopefully this has no chance.
Well, since we have a expert panel person here, I'd like to just ask about mental illness associated with addictive personalities. And would there be an association of the addictive personalities going towards legal or illegal marijuana?
Well, I think that the notion of an addictive personality needs to be understood. We all are potentially vulnerable to addiction. It's not certain individuals. For example, my wife's, one of her close friends, had a son who became addicted to drugs. He was a model child growing up in religion, in the church, going on missionary trips. You look at this kid and you'd say, this is the last person, whatever. He went off to college, he got involved with some people, got addicted, and they tried everything to stop him from taking drugs, and he resisted. Finally, he died of a fentanyl overdose. So what I'm saying to you is these chemicals produce that euphoria that for all people can become addictive. So the idea that we just have a few... a subset or minority of people we have to be concerned about, that's not true. And the more this stuff is readily available, and the more, like I said, it's a gateway drug. Because what marijuana does, it's the high may not be as addictive as these other drugs, but it leaves you seeking that. And you seek something stronger. And the stronger you seek it, the more addictive. And what happens is the rest of your life becomes secondary to getting high. And that's why it's destructive to society. Look what happened in China in the 1800s. England supplied China with opium. They did that because they were buying tea from China and they had an imbalance in their trade. So what they decided to do is they started importing opium to China. What happened is the Chinese society fell apart. There was these opium dens. These people would go in, they'd smoke opium. And eventually what happened was the Chinese government flipped the tables on it. And how did they stop it? They made the importation and sale of opium the death penalty.
And capital offense.
It's a capital offense. The death penalty, and they stopped it. Because it was destroying their society. And we are heading in the same direction. We had over 100,000 deaths of fentanyl, last year. Is it running a little over 100,000 per year? And we sit here and think, well, we're going to expand access to drugs, thinking that's going to help us. It's the opposite.
And that's across the country, correct, Alan? 107,000 deaths.
Yeah, it's a national figure.
Right.
Well, now, Rebecca, you had a court case you wanted to mention.
Well, I agree with you on the fact that we can't put a label on any type of person who could potentially, you know, have an addictive personality. And I see this because I see everyone from doctors who may have gotten into a car crash and they were provided pain pills. And now anything from doctors, nurses, previous law enforcement, all the way down in any trade or any career, I've seen it happen to where they are doing great. They are doing well in life. Something tragic will happen, whether it be a crash or a death of a child or anything. It's not pinpointed to one, but anything tragic can happen. And somehow they end up on these medications that they now cannot get off of. And even with this the marijuana that we're talking about, we are seeing it being laced with other type of illegal narcotics. And so when we even think about hemp, or if we think about marijuana and the plant in itself, that doesn't mean it can't be laced with something else. So yes, they may have an analytical card or a log that says what the percentage of THC is in it. But again, it's just one more resource that they have to,
sure.
If we're going to transport it, and legally, because it's medicinal or recreational and we're allowed to,
right.
Well, they're just going to hide it in a different manner. If they need it that bad, they're going to still get it. So if you look at 5, 10, 15 years ago, you could get, you know, and again, I'm just going to use these. I'm not quoting any numbers. I'm just going to use these as an example. If you could get $2,000 for a pound of weed, and with it being legalized, the people who are trying to do it legally and correctly, they, because of the supply and demand, because it's been legalized, now they're only getting $40 or $50 for it, for a pound. So why turn it, why do it legally if you're going to make no money and with all the permits and the fees that they're required to have and all of those things? And even with the hemp, here in North Carolina, State versus Teague, which is one of the only, court opinions that I've seen about hemp, and this is it kind of addresses with searching vehicles. If you pull somebody over, you smell the odor of marijuana coming from the vehicle. It says hemp did not alter the court's probable cause analysis, which so many times, you know, law enforcement hears on the side of the road, oh, it's just a little bit of weed, or oh, it's hemp. You can't search my car because I bought it at the store up the road. And essentially, in State versus Teague, the opinion of the court was assuming that hemp and marijuana smell identical, which is, again, your great question earlier, you know, with the, can the dogs differentiate between the two who are trained in the odor of marijuana? No, they can't. Then the presence of hemp does not make all police probable cause searches based on the odor unreasonable. The law and the legal landscape on marijuana as a whole is ever changing, but one thing is still true. Marijuana is illegal. To date, even with the social acceptance of marijuana seems to grow daily, precedent on the plain odor of marijuana giving law enforcement probable cause to search has not been overturned. Therefore, if hemp does have a if hemp has a nearly identical smell to marijuana and hemp was present, it would suggest to the court that the law enforcement officer was even more reasonable to believe evidence of marijuana was present. So let's take that back. Again, we were talking about that traffic stop where somebody may smell the odor of marijuana. If they're smoking it while they're driving, and even if there is a small amount of THC within that, even if it is hemp, at some point, as you discussed earlier about if you eat too many gummies because of the THC level,
correct,
it still has the full effect. It doesn't matter what the THC in it is.
I've witnessed it.
And what is that going to cause? It's going to cause driving while impaired, which is going to result in more crashes. if I'm sure all of us have experienced at some point, someone who's overdosed and they're blocking traffic because they're hunched over in their car. These people are driving down the road with our children. Again, how will it affect society? That's one of the many of how it's going to affect society.
Very well said.
And I can't stress enough, I hear it all the time, well, you know, just weed's not a big deal. Well, let's look at, again, we're looking at this on a bigger picture. If they have to get environmentalists out to come test their soils to make sure that the environment isn't being damaged, if they've have to have special permits and lawyers and all of these things and they're being taxed, why in the world would they do it? Why would they do it legally? They're not making nearly the money that they were making before. And even let's take out all of that and take out the profitable portion of it. Now you're looking at, okay, what is the tax is going to be used for? And you discussed that a little bit previously for grants and nonprofits and housing. You know, I see it so many times where somebody, I see it in young adults, anywhere from 15, 16, even really? All the way up to 30. And the ones who can go get a job, they're wanting to claim disability because they have anxiety. You know, World War II veterans who moved into this Humboldt County that we were also speaking of earlier, they went up there to live off the grid. That's how they dealt with their PTSD. That's how they dealt with, but again, that's where they're not going out and selling it to everyone else. And at the end of the day, they are complaining about getting all these permits to do it legally.
And not make a profit.
And not make a profit. So it comes back to the same thing. If it's not regulated on the law enforcement end or on the government side of it, there has to be plans in place. And what we're seeing is those plans are just not there. All they want is a decision to legalize it, and they're not thinking about how to regulate whatsoever. And I think that that should be the big push, is the regulation portion. What is everyone to expect?
That's a good question. I would like it not to be legal. I mean, Rebecca has brought a lot to the table tonight. And I feel that Glenn really captured what else is in the bill.
Okay, we've got about 45 seconds to wrap this up. So,
thank you, everyone, for participating. And I do want to mention that last week, because I wasn't... last week was interesting. We did do our Back the Blue celebration to honor the sheriff's office and the police departments in the adjoining counties and in New Bern and Havelock. And I want to thank everyone who participated. I think it was a good night for everybody.
Very good. Well, thank you folks for staying with us. And again, please go to our sponsors and tell them that you heard on the CCTA Wake Up Call. Thank you.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.